This public hearing is now officially called to order. And my name is Dr. Stan Myberg, and I am a member of the North Carolina Environmental Management Commission. And I have been appointed by the chairman of the Environmental Management Commission as the presiding officer for today's hearing. This public hearing and comment period are being held in accordance with the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, better known as the Clean Water Act, which requires states at least every 3 years to review and revise water quality standards to protect aquatic life and human health. This hearing is also being conducted under the authority of North Carolina General Statutes Chapter 143-214.1 and 143-215.3A. In accordance with General Statute 150B, a public notice containing the proposed changes and the accompanying fiscal note was published in the May 15, 2018 edition of the North Carolina Register. Additionally, amendments subject to comment are mandated under GS Section 150B-21.3A. Notices were sent to those who have requested to be placed on the Division of Water Resources rulemaking email notification list, and notice to the public was also provided through the department and the division's websites, and a press release was issued by the Department of Environmental Quality. A written record of this hearing will be prepared for the Environmental Management Commission, and for this reason, the hearing is being tape recorded. And if you have not already done so and you would like to speak, please sign in at the registration table, and those who are registered to speak will be provided this opportunity, although I think we are going to have a pretty informal hearing here this evening. Written comments, which were received by July 16, 2018, will also be included in the hearing record. And with that, Elizabeth Contis and Christopher Ventilaro, I hope I got those right, will be presenting a brief staff presentation, and then I'll ask to hear any comments you have on the EMC's proposals. So, Elizabeth and Christopher, take it away.
So I'm Elizabeth Countess. I'm with the Classification and Standards and Rules Review Branch, as is Chris Ventilaro. So I'm going to cover the first half of the slides here, and then Chris is going to jump in. So we're having two public hearings to gather comment on the proposed rules. One, of course, this evening, and the second one is going to be held Wednesday, July 11th in Raleigh. It will be held in the Archdale Building in the ground floor hearing room. The subject of the hearings and of this comment period are the following state rules, subchapter 02B, section 0100, 0200, and 0300. Those cover surface water and wetland standards. So section 0100, is titled Procedures for Assignment of Water Quality Standards, as you can see on the slide. That covers a variety of rules that includes, for instance, 0103, which is analytical procedures, all the way through to 0110, which is considerations for federally listed threatened and endangered aquatic species. Section 0200 represents all the classification and water quality standards, and there are several rules within that section. It includes, for instance, 0201, that's the anti-degradation policies, 0211, that is standards for Class C waters, which provide the basis of protection for all our state's freshwaters. And finally, 0231, which is the rule for wetland standards. And then there's section 0300, called, as you can see on the slide, Assignment of Stream Classifications. It contains all the rules for the individual river basins. And those rules, each of them, show the past rulemakings for each of the basins. One thing to note, two of those rules, 0311 and 0315, that's for, those two rules are for the Cape Fear River Basin and the New Super Basin. Those right now are postponed per Session Law 2016-94. that is due to, or I should say in association with the Jordan and Falls Lakes rules. And then, so those will be, those are on the lake. So there's a wide variety of rules here, 17, ranging from 0306, which is the Broad River Basin, also 0309, Yadkin Piggy River Basin is included here. So the federal requirements that are applicable for public notice, hearing, and accepting comments is the Clean Water Act, Surrounding Remedial Action, which is required by federal law. 40 CFR 131 is our what we look at within the federal code that's applicable to all states' water quality standards programs. Do know that since 2015 there has been an important tweak added, and that is now there's a 45-day notice requirement for prior to the date of hearings. So, just to cover a few basics in terms of what water quality standards actually consist of. They have several elements. First of all, there's the uses that are designated for water bodies. There's the criteria to protect those uses, and those criteria are in numerical and or narrative forms. There's the anti-degradation requirements, as well as some policies that exist on mixing zones and variances. The overall changes that you'll are included in this proposed rulemaking are many. As you can read on the slide, include things like clarifications, reorganizing the rules, updating them. Also, some of the changes have stemmed from input that we've had both internally and some stakeholder efforts. There's also been removal of some parts of the rules that have been deemed no longer necessary, and also some parts of rules have been relocated into other rules. Also, the revisions include some recommendations from EPA from the previous triennial review. And with that, I will have Chris come forward and share those with you.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. My name is Chris Ventilaro, and I also work in the Classifications and Standards Group. I'm an environmental specialist there, and my focus is mostly on the water quality standards side of things. As Betsy mentioned, and first, we apologize for our technical difficulties today. The purple's a little bit hard to read, but it kind of gives a nice ambiance. So, kind of good. So as Betsy mentioned, during the last triennial review, EPA disapproved of portions of the triennial review package, the rules that were written at that time. Some of the recommendations that they made going into this triennial were to remove references to how hardness data was used to develop the hardness floor minimum that was to be applied statewide for surface waters. They also recommended removing the language that discussed requiring biological assessment to confirm any kind of impairments based on metals in surface waters. And they also recommended removing the action levels for copper, zinc, and silver. For this particular rulemaking package, a fiscal note was prepared. The Office of State Budget and Management approved of that fiscal note on April 16th. And the fiscal note was based mostly on the removal of those action levels. So there was a cost and benefit associated with those action levels, the cost mostly being the cost associated with additional testing that would have to be done. And the benefits were associated more with the potential reduction of metals in the surface waters. Another aspect of this kind of rulemaking process is for us to really request comments, stakeholder comments, going forward for the next triennial review. There are a lot of topics that we need to cover for the next triennial review. EPA has released a lot of guidance over the past few years, and these are some of the topics that we're kind of focusing on for right now that we're considering looking at for the next triennial review, but we're very interested in hearing, getting some stakeholder feedback and knowing what your thoughts are. So just to go through them quickly, what's already on our plate right now are EPA's 94 updated human health criteria. Those were updated in 2015 and include updates to not only toxicity endpoints, but also toxicity exposure factors. The environmental criteria for ammonia, that was a 2013 update, I believe, and that was building off of, I believe the most recent one before that was around 1999 or so. And that's mostly focused on the protection of aquatic life, especially sensitive mussel, freshwater mussel species, which are a big concern for North Carolina. We're also looking at the updated bacteriological criteria associated with primary recreation. There's been some discussion about designated use language associated with shellfish leasing and basically shellfish industrial leases. And there are a couple of other criteria updates that have come about, such as the selenium criteria and the cadmium criteria that are both associated with aquatic life protections. Some other metals and bromides, which are of concern for water treatment plants. The bromides in and of themselves are not, don't pose a lot of potential toxicity, but they can pose problems for water treatment plants as part of the disinfection process. And of course, emerging contaminants or contaminants of emerging concern, perfluorinated compounds, neonicotinoid pesticides, and also pharmaceuticals are kind of things that we want to kind of start to look at and see what we can kind of do with them. So again, we very much welcome any stakeholder comments, recommendations, anything that you want to provide us, we are more than happy to kind of look at and consider. This, just to quickly go over some of the history of this rulemaking process and some proposed kind of target dates that we have going forward. January 2018, Water Quality Committee approved of the drafts for this rulemaking. That was followed by the EMC approving them in March. Public notice was distributed in April of 2018, and of course we're starting our public hearings now. We have today's public hearing, and the next public hearing, as Betsy mentioned, will be on July 11th, and that will be downtown Raleigh, so please come if you can. Going forward from there, very important date to remember is that the public comment period ends July 16th, so please have all the comments in by then. And we have some target dates following that. Hopefully October, November of this year, we'll be able to go to the EMC to get submittal approval, followed by submittal and approval to the RRC in November, December. We're proposing, we have a kind of a target date of January 1st, 2019, for these rules to be effective in the North Carolina Administrative Code. And then going forth from there, hopefully by January or February, we can get to the Attorney General's office for the Clean Water Act certification so that we can then send the rules to the EPA, excuse me, in February or March. And if all goes well, hopefully May 1st of 2019, we will have final approval by the EMC. So again, July 16th is the cutoff date for the comments. You can submit written comments if you haven't done so already today. You can submit them via email at this email address. You can also send them in via mail to Connie Brower. She's also in the water planning section, 1611 Mail Service Center in Raleigh. If you have any questions about any of these rules, feel free to call Connie. Her number is down at the bottom there. It's a little small, but it's 919-807-6416. And you can also reach her at connie.brower@ncdm.gov. And that is all we have for tonight. We do have some links. You should all, there's copies of the public notice on the table, as well as the fiscal note. If you don't have a copy, you can also find copies of these links. These are kind of hard to read, but you can also go to our website, If you just Google, our website's kind of a little hard to navigate, but if you Google North Carolina Surface Water Standards or North Carolina Triennial Review, that should bring you to a link to our Surface Water Standards webpage. And from there, there's an embedded jump link that will take you right down to the Triennial Review section. And you can find the public notice and all the other associated information there. So thank you very much. And I guess we'll turn it back over to the panelists.
Chris, thank you very much. Betsy, thank you. Betsy or Beth?
Betsy,
thank you both very much for that presentation. We'll now accept comments from the audience. And is there anyone in the audience who has not already registered who wishes to speak? Okay, hearing none. We have two people who wish to speak, and I will just ask if you have written copies of your comments, please provide the staff with either a written or electronic copy. And again, since we just have two, I think we can do this in a pretty straightforward manner. And the first designated resident, let me try that again. The first registered speaker is Will Hendricks with the Waterkeeper Alliance. So, Will.
Thank you, Commissioner Myberg, members of staff for attendance, everyone else who made the trip today. I don't know where you want to stand. What would be best for audio members? My name is Will Hendrick. I'm a resident of Chatham County. I'm here on behalf of Waterkeeper Alliance. And I appreciate the opportunity to comment today. We will be submitting written comments by the comment deadline, which we'll go into greater detail. I'm pleased to be here at a time when elected officials, decision makers, members of the public have a uniquely heightened interest in water quality standards. And I think that we all know that that's in part due to the Gen X crisis. And although we will comment in our written materials about ways to move forward on the regulation of emerging contaminants, it has been my observation throughout attempts to do so that one common justification for inaction or for reluctance to move with haste is the absence of established science and EPA recommendations. And so tonight I want to focus my comments on regulations for which those justifications for inaction are not present. Indeed, I want to talk about water quality standards for which the science is settled and EPA has long recommended the path forward, ultimately encouraging the state and the EMC in particular to move with haste to regulate those pollutants and not wait for another triennial review. And I'll start with focus on a moment. And part of why I want to make sure we don't wait until the next triennial review is because my comments are going to start with the 2010 triennial review, which was followed 7 years before the next one. In 2010, advocates were requesting the EMC establish water quality standards for fresh waters that were protected from aquatic life, and that were established for a moment. And at that time, we were told what is now a familiar refrain, that the science was unsettled and that the EPA had yet to win. And so we fast forwarded to 2014, when there was a triennial review, at which point the science had been published. EPA had recommended its criteria, as was alluded to earlier. And at that point, the justification for inaction was the science is too new and hadn't had the opportunity to review it. Now, 3 years later, it's my understanding that science has been reviewed, and I regret to note that there is no proposal to actually establish a standard for ammonia. And so I would just urge the EMC to move with haste to adopt adequately protective ammonia water quality standards for fresh waters. Similarly, in 2012, the EPA recommended revisions to its recreational water quality guidance for bacteria, and included in those 2012 recommendations were actually a couple of different options that states could consider for regulating E. coli, a common indicator bacteria with which the general public is somewhat familiar. I will note, and not in jest, that I have received calls asking why we know what levels of E. coli are dangerous in lettuce, but we don't know, according to the state of North Carolina, what's problematic levels of E. coli. We need those recreational water quality standards, and I think Now as we enter into the paddling season, it's particularly notable that recreational uses deserve protection from the host of pathogens that we use these bacteria to indicate the presence of. And so we want to make sure that we adequately protect human health during those recreational hours. Similarly, in 2015 and 16, the EPA has made recommendations with respect to cyanotoxins. One of the outgrowths of nutrient pollution, which sadly affects many watersheds in North Carolina, can be harmful algal blooms. And some of those algal blooms contain these cyanotoxins, and the spermopsin and microcystin in particular are pollutants for which the EPA has weighed in, having reviewed and made recommendations on the basis of the most current science. There was a health advisory level established and recommended in 2015 that I believe should be adopted for our drinking water supplies. There was similarly in 2016 draft cyanotoxins guidance from the EPA designed to protect human health from these cyanotoxins in recreational waters. I think those should be adopted for our Class B waters. And I could continue, but I want to recognize the sort of value of everyone's time. There are EPA standards that have been recommended and referred to earlier that are more stringent for selenium and cadmium, again, for which there is no dispute as to the science, and there's been ample opportunity for review. Ultimately, I want to close by noting that generally speaking, there are 94 human health criteria that the EPA has revised. And again, those are recommendations based on the latest science that we should not delay 3 years before moving on. And so I would just urge the EMC to consider overdue proposals for revising our water quality standards to bring them up to date and make them consistent with the most current scientific understanding and appropriately protective of all of the designated uses of our water. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our second speaker is Brian Fannin with the Yadkin Rivers.
Good evening. Thank everyone for coming up here and surviving the heat to get here. I can't do anything about that, I'm sorry. But I want to give you a little background before I approach my comments directly. I was a fisheries biologist for many years in Alaska and up and down the East Coast, so obviously the metals is something that really turns the lights on for me. It's an area of high concern. But I also have a master's in biogeography of colonial North Carolina and a PhD in the intersection of biogeography and fluvial systems, how those work together and influence each other. So I just want to give you a little kind of background of where my approach in making these comments comes from. And these comments are based around the Yadkin River, because that's where I work, but they are applicable to any river system in our state. The Yadkin River system has a wonderful, long history. We know a lot of it. We know back into the prehistory section, Native American use going back at least 8,000 years. We forward through time. We see very slow changes up until about 300 years ago when we have European settlement move into the area, at which point we start to see some major changes. With these settlers came a new form of agriculture, a European-style of agriculture that involved a lot of clearing, a lot of very erosive types of plowing. That in turn resulted in mobilizing, moving a lot of this soil and getting it to where it could be washed into the stream. So the Yadkin River at this point has a tremendous amount of sediment in it, and it will be, we're looking at 100, 200 years more as this sediment slug slowly works its way out of our river system. What does this have to do with the current proposals here? The point is not to criticize those farmers. They didn't realize the impact that they were having. We, though, have very good science. We know the impacts we're having. We can't blame them for doing what they were doing. We look at ourselves, though. We look at High Rock Lake, which is an area of particular concern with the algal blooms and associated cyanobacteria. We know what's causing that. We know we have nutrient overloads. That's not too much of a question. We need to see what we need to do as far as imposing some standards to address this situation rather than letting it go on. And I think really even many of the dischargers would like guidance. They know something has to change. They don't have anything to aim at. They don't have a goal to try to hit at this point. I've recently received several calls from the Bay Lake community. They're starting to see algal blooms earlier and far more extensive than they have seen before. 3 weeks ago, I got a whole slew of calls saying, you know, we normally don't see this level of algal bloom until late August. What's going on? So we know there are some issues. We can't claim ignorance in this case. These lakes are not just aquatic systems, though. Stepping back from my role as a biologist, these are recreational lakes as well. These receive a lot of use. These have a substantial economic impact on this part of North Carolina. I'm in a situation where recreational users will call me occasionally and say, hey, how safe is the water in there? I can't tell you. There is no standard set. I can tell you that I wash my hands after I'm in the lake. I wash up pretty thoroughly. But there is no number that we can aim at here. No goal to say, yeah, that's fine. Or wash your hands really good after you're through. We're kind of left in limbo with that part of our water quality. Where do we set a number at that we can use and all agree on, or even if we disagree, we've got a number to use to set some standards. The step beyond that, though, I'd like to relate an experience that I have every summer when I go to parks and kayak takeouts along the Yadkin River. When it comes to these standards, especially some of the bacterial standards, it's worth considering where we set the standard at. Do we set it for a healthy 28-year-old male? Because that works out pretty well, that's an average. But what I see when I go to these, 2 weekends ago on the Yadkin River, it was full of people. It was very hot, and there were a lot of people in the water. I counted coming and going 30-some people right in the kayak takeout area. Two-thirds of those were children. Not healthy grown adults, but children. When we look at these standards, especially the bacterial standards, I would strongly, strongly urge consideration being given to who is in this water. In this case, two-thirds of the group were children, probably under the age of 15. And that is going to represent a population that may have a very different reaction to a bacterial level that's fine for an adult, for a healthy adult. But when you have parents in the water with toddlers, we're looking at a whole different situation. So I would urge some consideration, not only to getting these standards in place so that we all have something to work from, but in setting these standards, consider the population that is actually using this water, not just drinking it, but is using it recreationally as well, who are going to be exposed to it. You're going to be in it. What level can we say that it is safe to take a two-year-old into the Yadkin River to cool off in the summer? So, in short, these recommendations really need to come in sooner rather than later, and consideration given to not only the economic impact, but the human health impact. Who's using this water? How are they using it? What is safe for them to be in? And at what level do we need to say, hey, stay out of the water? I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you very much for coming in and listening to the comments.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? done. The comment period will be open, as we indicated earlier, through the 16th of July. And I want to thank everyone for being here and attending this. And in making any final decisions on standards, the EMC considers the written public comments record, the suggestions of the hearing officer, and any concerns of commission members. And based upon careful consideration by myself and the Division of Water Resources staff, I'll make recommendations for action to the Environmental Management Commission. And with that, I want to thank everyone for being here. I think the staff and folks will hang around for a few minutes to answer any additional questions, but for all of you who took the time to come out and participate in this hearing and be here, we thank you and appreciate your input. And with that, hearing no objection, this hearing is adjourned. Thank you.